Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop here in the studio. So much going on today, I don't even know what's happening, to be honest. Hopefully, we'll be able to keep you on track as to what is going on. We'll be reflecting on Juventus booking a place in the top four. Napoli unable to get it done against Verona. We'll be discussing the future of Cristiano Ronaldo, who has dropped to the bench for that game. We'll also be talking about the title race in France, which went right down to the wire. But let's start, shall we, in England as we welcome in Nathan Manoa and Stephen Nicol are with us, where Liverpool and Chelsea will be in the Champions League next season alongside Manchester United and Manchester City. A crazy old day in England. Liverpool were the most comfortable. They beat Crystal Palace 2-0. Meanwhile, Chelsea beaten by Aston Villa 2-1. But in the end, that didn't matter. Leicester City at one stage were 2-1 up against Spurs. Spurs, though, coming from behind to beat them by 4-2, meaning that Leicester City will be in the Europa League next season. So, Stevie and Nadim with us. Not many have predicted, would have predicted, Stevie, that was the way that final day was going to play out.
No, not at all. We all predicted how it would end up, but certainly none of us thought of the drama, particularly with Leicester and Chelsea, that they would end up getting there. Incredible. You know, the biggest shock for me was Chelsea losing. I thought Chelsea were bang on to go to Villa and win. Leicester, I wasn't that surprised. They've looked jaded, in my opinion, recently. The size of the squad, they haven't been able to handle the length of the Premier League season and all the other cup competitions. And so for them to lose isn't particularly a shock, but Chelsea, absolutely a shock. But it doesn't really matter, because with Leicester losing, Chelsea are in. And as we said earlier, Liverpool, it really was never in doubt. Townsend had a little sniff early on, never took the opportunity, and as soon as Mane scored, then the game was over for me. So anyway, we all predicted the top four. We got it. And we certainly didn't predict how it was going to end up.
All right, pat yourself on the back some more, Stevie. Well done. meanwhile, Nadim, Chelsea really, really getting away with it.
Yeah, 100%. I think as I'm on the same side as Stevie, I fully thought Chelsea were going to go and get the business done today. So for them to be behind and to be losing in the way that they did, and for them to get so lucky as to Leicester City not managing to win at home, you know, it is crazy. But I think the thing that makes it particularly interesting from the Leicester perspective was the fact that they would have seen that Chelsea were losing. So in those last few moments, that last 20 minutes, that last half hour, you know, they had to go all out. And I think the fact they ended up losing by that scoreline, you know, that's a big surprise to me. But ultimately, as we've seen there, they just run out of steam at the wrong moment.
Problem for Chelsea, scoring goals, Shaq.
Yeah.
And we saw it again today.
We've known that all season long. And Chelsea desperate need of a striker. And it couldn't have been more evidence than what you saw today. When you have teams, as Villa did, who want to sit back, defend, sit deep, invite that pressure on, they simply don't have anybody with that striker's instinct who can find spaces, who the ball just seems to drop to. And that's why Timo Werner has been as much a disappointment as he has. And very nearly, that lack of a striker or Timo Werner's lack of form nearly cost Chelsea Champions League.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have that one player, which is why Chelsea continue to be linked with every single striker who's available, seemingly at any single price, from Haaland to Kane. And it will happen all summer long for this exact reason.
Yeah, it was a flat performance from Chelsea overall, Stevie, given what was on the line. Stevie can't hear us, or he's ignoring me because I talked about him patting himself.
I just lost you for a second, Dan.
Oh, thank you. That's good, Stevie. I was asking you about Chelsea and about how they were flat considering what was on the line.
I mean, I don't know whether flat's the word. They weren't at their best, I would agree. I think really their problems really all boil down to the same thing. Just what you're talking to Shaka about, the fact that they really look as though they're struggling. in front of goal. You know, we always talk about people like Kane and Aguero when they're through on the goalie. You've actually stopped watching because you know they're going to score. You know, a bit like Alisson at one time with Liverpool in goal. When somebody's going through, the Shackleton, you just know he's going to make a save. Well, whenever Chelsea create chances, regardless of whether it's Havertz or Werner or Pulisic or Zajic or whoever it may be, you just always get the feeling that, you know, I better watch this because, yeah, I don't think they're going to score. And if we're thinking that, I'm sure Thomas Tuchel at some stages is sitting on the bench thinking the same thing every time they create an opportunity. Because they do create chances. They just can't take them right now. And I'll tell you what, if they don't take them next week, then clearly there's only one winner of the Champions League.
I love the thought of Stevie, I came through one-on-one. I'll switch it off now. Turn it off. Switch it over. We know he's going to score. Don't even bother. Meanwhile, for Leicester, Nathan, so much made of the fact that it's kind of history repeating itself. It's what happened last season. Obviously, spent so much time in the top four, but surely it's just evidence of a lack of depth in squad.
Yeah, I would say so. I think for key points here, they missed certain players throughout the year and it was a big miss for them. But then to talk about something specifically in the last few weeks, I think what happened in terms of them being involved in FA Cup final against Chelsea and all the emotionals involved in that, but then to then go and play Chelsea away from home just a few days later, I think that was the stretch of their squad, which they just couldn't come back from. And it is a shame for them because, as I saw in the FA Cup, they're almost the darling side of, say, everybody outside of the top six. But then you look at the game today, and when they really, really need a big performance and a big result against the Spurs side, who aren't brilliant, you know, they let themselves down, and it's ultimately a big shame for them. But that's the thing, if you want to be up near the top and to do it consistently, you need to have the resources, and those resources tend to get you squad depth, as we've seen in the fact that, say, Man City have won the league by using probably 20 players throughout the entire year.
They were 2-1 up, though, Shaq, 50 minutes ago.
Yeah, and that's a tough break for Leicester City right now. How they're feeling right now, after being in the top four for pretty much all of the season, but for the last few moments, repeating itself from last season, and that was a big concern. I thought last season the pandemic came right where they were in the middle of a very good run, and then couldn't rediscover that form. This time it was just too much of an ask, especially with the cup run. But we had a question on Extra Time a few days ago, Dan, and we were asked, would you take FA Cup and top or miss out on the top four,
yep,
or reverse? And I said personally, I'd take the FA Cup. And especially when you're talking about a club like Leicester City, who'd never won that title before. So as much disappointment as they feel right now,
yep,
give it a week. They look back on the season in its entirety and recognise that they again wrote history. It will be Europa League coming in for next season, and that will take some, I guess, adjusting to. But all in all, for the club we're talking about, the size, the history that they made for themselves, I really do think you have to be happy with this season.
Nathan?
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree with you, Shaka, but as far as the league situation goes, I think that's the toughest pill to swallow here is the fact that they dropped out on the last day. Mm. I think if they were in, say, Chelsea position, hoping, or Liverpool's position, hoping to break into the top four, I think you can look at positives and say, yeah, you know, we won the FA Cup and we just missed out on this. But Leicester City have been in the top four for as long as I can remember. So for them to be able to drop out based on the last, say, 30 minutes of their season, I think you have to be devastated. I think it will take a while, and rightly so, you know, to overcome this feeling. But when they do, the FA Cup being there is going to be huge. But like I say, they've literally crumbled in the last possible second. And I think for everybody, that really affects you.
Meanwhile, Nathan, you're at the City game, of course, the trophy presentation as they were crowned Premier League champions. Was there a tear in your eye as you said goodbye to Kun Aguero?
Tear in my eye, absolutely not. But what an icon he is. I think the fact that he was coming on and you were thinking, please score, please score. Then he scores that first goal, which is so him. It was so clinical. It looked like just a training drill, just a passing drill. Slams it into the corner. And then before you know it, he scored a second. And then the whole stadium's excited because they believe Sergio Aguero could finish his league time at City with a hat-trick. And it just goes to show how good he is. You know, you look at this goal here, it's like he's bored. Okay, just pop that in there. 184 goals for this football club in the Premier League is absolutely insane. Considering what Man City were, looking at... are now, and the fact that they can afford to have a player who scored 260 goals for the club on the bench and be letting them go, I think it really says a lot about how far they've come, but he's such a significant part of that history. Every single one of his goals has mattered the most to the club, and he scores every type of goal. I mean, look at the target man in the box, look at the little poacher and stuff like this, and he wasn't too far away from a hat-trick, but for a great save from Jordan Pickford, so it was a great occasion. And the best thing of all for me was this game here for Everton meant something, because if they won, they could have qualified for the UEFA Conference League, or thing, or whatever it's called. But they were nowhere near it today, because City really put them on the back foot for the vast majority of the game. So even though there was, in theory, nothing to play for technically because they've won the league, they were still clinical, and now they head to the next game, the Champions League final, with a good feeling and in good form. Whereas for Chelsea, you know, it's a one-off game for them next week and they can hope to do well, but their last memory isn't as good as City's was.
Nathan, what about Pep afterwards? It's just a complete wreck when talking about Aguero.
Yeah, it's interesting this. So, like, I really like Pep Guardiola and I love Sergio Aguero, but the fact that Pep Guardiola is letting Sergio Aguero go, it's like you don't have to be so emotional. If you want him, just keep him. But ultimately, you know, they've got other plans in play and they're looking for the long-term nature of the club, and it's a shame. But to just quote something, the highlight of the day for me, they gave all the media people one of these. So, yeah, this is nice.
Oh, that'd be on
Thank you very much, Man City.
That'd be on eBay this afternoon. Trying to get some money out of that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Listen, you can find me for sure. That is more than available.
Look at Stevie. He's excited by it.
Well, I can't even see it, can I?
It's a cheap replica that they gave the press with 2021 in horrible gold letters. Nathan's very excited about it.
Well,
Nathan, it's not crocodile tears from Pep.
What are you expecting?
He seemed generally emotional.
I think it would be. I don't think he's fake as such. But as I say, you look at the bigger picture, and it is a strange one, because yes, Sergio's leaving, but Sergio didn't ask to leave. Like, Sergio's essentially being told that he has to leave. So, you know, keep him. You could maybe keep him. That would be nice. But I don't know. I suppose the time's run its course, and City are looking forward and looking to bring in the next young player, or the next great striker, or maybe the next Aguero. So I guess the future's bright for the club if they can let go of somebody that's got that type of history and legacy with the team. Because, to be honest, as I saw today in the stadium, like, everybody was there to celebrate him in the last 10 years. Even Julian as well. I saw him in the stands.
Yeah, Julian.
Is he crying?
He had the PSG game on. Thank you very much, guys. Nathan and Stevie back, of course, for extra time. Be sure to check that out over on our YouTube channel, where they will be answering your tweets.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
A dramatic final day in Italy. Milan with a 2-0 victory against Atalanta. Both penalties from Kessié, enough to see them in the Champions League next season. In fact, enough to see them finish second. Meanwhile, Juventus beating Bologna proved to be crucial, because Napoli, playing against Verona, who had nothing to play for, couldn't get it done. Napoli, they could only manage a 1-1 draw. So it's Juve who qualified for Champions League. Napoli have to make do with the Europa League. Well, let's welcome in, shall we, Gab Marcotti and Jürgen Klinsmann. Jürgen, what's the biggest story for you from today?
Well, I would say the biggest story is Napoli not making it in the top four, because they had it all there. I mean, even, you know, they took them a while to get into the game, and finally they broke they broke the moment with the 1-0, and you got to hold on to that. You got to find a way to deal with that and get those 3 points. I mean, this is a real disaster for the city of Napoli, the entire club, not getting now into the Champions League. They had it in their own hands. But you can see how big psychological factor is in soccer. You can sense it. You know, the players were they were frozen. They were not free in their minds. They were nervous. They were, you know, just, they were scared to fail. And that's when you're scared to fail, then you're going to end up failing. And that's what happened to Napoli today. So I guess it's the biggest story of today.
Yeah, just ran through that whole game, didn't it, Gab? Napoli never really just got going at all.
Yeah, very disappointing. Didn't create sufficient chances. Verona came to play. But I'm sure we'll get to this. For me, the biggest story is the one that's linked to this, which is the decision by Andrea Pirlo to leave out Cristiano Ronaldo. Because, you know, now with hindsight, everything went well. Mm. Everything's fine. But equally, you know, he couldn't have known ahead of time that Napoli were going to drop points. And, you know, just imagine if they hadn't piled those goals on in the first half and Cristiano comes on later. And, you know, it was a classic walk away, a fool or a king type situation for Andrea Pirlo. And it worked out for him.
Now, what Juventus are selling us, Jürgen, is that Pirlo and Ronaldo had a discussion and decided it was best for him to be rested for this game.
Yeah, maybe he rested him for the European Championship. No, but I'm pretty sure that Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't want to get any rest. I mean, he's restless for goals. He wants to score. He wants to have his say in determining, you know, how a result ends up. You know, he wanted to take his Juventus team into the Champions League and get his job done. So I think he was pretty surprised that they had that conversation. So it ended up well. It ended up okay for Juventus. They made it. They got in the top four. So it's maybe, you know, it's time for another coffee between Andrea Pirlo and Cristiano. But definitely, it's a huge deal because obviously everybody questions now, how does this story continue at Juventus? You know, what is Juventus doing with Andrea Pirlo? Is he staying? And also, obviously, with the situation of Cristiano Ronaldo.
It's a big statement from Pirlo, Gab, in what is the final day of the season.
It's a huge statement, and it's got so many other repercussions. Because let's just imagine Pirlo gets sacked, which is a possibility, you know, even with him getting qualified. It would mean that Cristiano Ronaldo and his four, and if Cristiano stays, and again, I think it's very likely that he decides to stay, it would mean that Cristiano would, in his 4 years at Juve, would have four different managers, you know, which is definitely not what he signed up for. I think in the end, this works out. I think, you know, Cristiano obviously disappointed, but you just have to look at the pictures of him, you know, late in the game, him and Bonucci on the bench, you know, looking at the pictures from Naples, being so tense, the way he celebrated. You know, he's a professional and he always wants to play. He didn't get to, but in the end it worked out. He knows if he stays, he's going to play next season. And, you know, maybe what Cristiano would want most is a little bit of continuity, staying at Juventus, working with Pirlo, and being part of the project for the next year. So, you know, I wouldn't dismiss the possibility that everything's going to work out for Cristiano and Pirlo together at Juve.
Jürgen, should Juve stick with Pirlo?
Well, I personally, obviously looking at it from the outside, hope so. Because it was his year one as a head coach of Juventus. He won two titles, the League Cup and the Coppa Italia. You know, they got them now in the last game into the Champions League. Obviously, it's not what they really aim for. They aim for the title. They wanted the 10th title, which now Inter Milan interrupted that series. And but he's still in a huge learning process. You know, he's a very young coach. I think, you know, if you would talk today to Andrea Pirlo and you kind of discuss the entire year, how it went for him, that he learned so many things in this year. And he keeps on learning. He keeps on growing as a manager. And that can only get better. Important is that the team buys into that process, the club buys into that process, that, you know, that everybody covers each other in a certain way. Every one of us has strengths and weaknesses. So in this kind of a bigger picture of a club and a team, you always need to cover up the weaknesses of somebody else and you bring in your own strengths. So Andrea Pirlo has a lot of strengths, a lot of playing experience. He won the World Cup. He was a huge, huge player. So he keeps on growing. So I personally hope they stick together and they prove a point next season.
Meanwhile, for Milan, Gab, how significant is this big picture that they qualify for the Champions League?
It's hugely significant. It's a big part of the project that Milan's owners, Elliot, put together. It's gone more slowly, I think, than they would have liked, partly because of financial fair play and the absolutely disastrous situation in terms of losses that they inherited from the previous ownership group led by Li Yonghong. And even before that, the final years of Berlusconi, when, you know, Milan were racking up huge losses and, you know, they got stuck with a bunch of big contracts. They've worked on trying to whittle those down. They've had some false starts, witness Giampaolo last season. But they feel that they're now on track, and it's very important for them to be in the Champions League, not just for the Champions League money and the prize money, but also for the opportunities that come with it in terms of building the brand, getting more commercial sponsorships, really bringing Milan back to what they were as, you know, one of the leading brands in the world. You can count on one finger the number of teams that have won more European Cups than Milan has. So I think in this stage, and of course they've got the new stadium to come as well. So in this sense, it was really, really important for them.
Milan fans will be hoping that this will kickstart them being competitive in the transfer market and bringing in some big names, Gab. How tangible is that?
I think a lot's going to depend on the two outstanding out-of-contract players, Hakan Çalhanoğlu and, of course, Gigi Donnarumma. Obviously, Donnarumma hasn't re-upped yet. His contract's there waiting. I think it would be huge for them to keep him. But, you know, Milan have drawn a line saying you're only worth this much. And if he moves on, they'll use that salary slot. They've already been linked with Mike Maignan from Lille, who was a phenomenal goalkeeper. They really like him. Çalhanoğlu as well. I think that the line from the club is we'd like to continue with younger players. Now, obviously, you might ask, well, then why did you re-up Zlatan's contract? And, you know, they'll tell you that there's always exceptions, and Zlatan is the exception in terms of leadership. But the direction of travel undoubtedly is to try to hang on to Fikayo Tomori if you can from Chelsea. That may or may not be possible. Obviously, with Kessié and Bennacer and Tonali, who hopefully will have a better season next year than he had this year. They feel pretty good about central midfield. And you've got, you know, Salamakers, Brian Diaz, Rafael Leao. You have a lot of young talent there. And it's a question of making it grow. But this is very much what they want to do. They hope they won't have to sell Frank Kessié or one of the big guns. But if the right offer comes in, you know, I genuinely don't think that there's anybody who's untouchable.
Jürgen, putting your interways aside, it's great, isn't it, for Italian football, in fact, football overall, to have Milan back?
Oh, absolutely. To have both Milano teams back in the Champions League, obviously top and top two, has been a long time coming. Let's put it that way. You know, the fans were waiting for a long time for that moment. So the city is on a hype now. They're all happy. You know, Inter fans, Milan fans, and it's necessary also for the image and the standing of the Italian league overall in Europe. It's huge that both Milan teams are back on top there. Obviously, Juventus is always expected to be there as well. The Serie A is trying hard to kind of build a better image and be more known all over the place again, like they were in the 80s, 90s was the biggest league in the world. And they're trying hard, as Gab said rightfully, with Milano trying to build a new stadium for both clubs, basically. Very futuristic design is out there. That would make them tremendously proud and happy. But it's a great moment for the city of Milano.
Thank you very much. Of course, more from Gab on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Monday. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Lille didn't fluff their lines on the final day of the season. A 2-1 victory against Angers guaranteed them the French Championship, beating PSG by 1 point. Gab with us. Gab, I think everyone but PSG supporters got to be happy for Lille.
It's a tremendous story. I think it shows what you can do. I mean, this is a team that flirted with bankruptcy this season. It's a team that changed owners in the middle of the season. Christophe Galtier has done a phenomenal job. This is a team that, you know, in the last 2 years, they sold Rafael Leao, they sold Victor Osimhen, they sold Nicolas Pepe, they sold Gabriel to Arsenal, of course. They brought in Burak Yilmaz, who I don't think he'd ever played outside Turkey at 34 years old. He's been tremendous down the stretch. Obviously, they've had Jonathan David, I think, since he's Canadian is how I pronounce his name, but he's of Haitian origin, so maybe Jonathan David. I genuinely don't know what he actually calls himself, but he's been phenomenal this season as well. Soumaré up and down. They've just had this tremendous ability to attract gifted players, and they believe throughout, you know, even as, you know, they saw Paris Saint-Germain coming up behind them in the headlights. It's just a tremendous feat. Now you know that this team will be, someone's talent will be cherry-picked by other clubs, and you know that people are going to come for Christophe Galtier as well, because he's the guy who's really kept it together.
From a PSG perspective, Gab, what does this all mean?
Well, it means disappointment for Pochettino. At least he won the French Cup, so people can't point to him and look at his, you know, empty trophy cabinet. But then again, you know, I think they were 1 point behind when he took over from Thomas Tuchel, and they finished the season 1 point behind. And what that tells you is, you know, they were there, and Lille was just better than them down the stretch. You know, he didn't. It's not like the gap got bigger, you know, since Pochettino arrived. And of course, they also had that run in the Champions League. Obviously, the Neymar's in the bag. They still need to sort out the Mbappe situation. He does have a year left. Again, they're always confident. But I think they feel that they're moving in the right direction with Pochettino. And they knew. They knew that, you know, it's not like they lost the title here on this last day of the season. They knew they were behind. And they knew, given the opposition as well, Angers and Brest, they knew that it was very likely that it would take a major banana skin from Lille for them not to win the title.
Gab Marcoli, thank you very much. A lot more from Gab on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. You can check that out. The new one drops on Monday.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Nadim and Stevie back with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hislop with us here in the studio. We also welcome Stevie and Nathan. A lot of questions we've had today, and I've lost the piece of paper that has the questions on, Shaq. Just fill for a moment.
OK.
I found it. What's the pre-game... Thanks for helping me out, Shaq. And what's the pre-game locker room like? And is there any motivational speeches by any of the players or managers when you're playing for a title or a European spot on the last match day? Does anything need to be said? Or do the boys know the job, so you just let them be? Stevie?
No, you don't. You try and keep things normal, and you try and just make sure that everybody does the basics that they've been doing that's got you in a position, whether it's to win a league or to win a cup final, whatever it may be. You know, because at the end of the day, the things that got you there are the things that might make you win it. So I'm not huge into all these big speeches. The only... Listen, when you win, somebody will say, oh, it was that speech. The truth is, it's not. It's getting your basics right and getting up a level of performance on the day.
Stephen, why do you have a massive picture of a bull behind you?
Where?
Why would you have that in the house anyway?
Oh, that... Oh, what's wrong? It's a McCue.
It's what, sorry?
Just throwing a bit of flavour in, Dan, you know.
It's a what?
It's a McCoo.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know what
the
that
Scottish
is.
Cow.
Oh, I see. Why would you
it's
have
a Scottish cow?
Why would you have a picture of a Scottish cow in your house?
It's hanging in the bathroom. It's giving you something.
Oh, that makes sense.
Keeps you something to smile about while you're whatever.
That makes you smile. Nathan,
well,
what pictures?
Laughing.
What pictures do you have in your bathroom? What oversized animals are there?
Unfortunately, I don't have any, but maybe as I get older, it's something I'll look into, so I appreciate that, Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
I can recommend a Scottish McCue.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Scottish McCue.
Yeah, that's
all
what
about.
McCue.
Oh, man. I thought it was as simple as what you normally talk, but clearly not. It's a McCue, not a bull. Shaka,
have you ever... I'll get you the pig. We've got another one. We've got a pig one. I'll get you it for the next 10.
Why have you got a picture of a pig in the bathroom as well?
It's in the bathroom as well. Why?
Is it the same size?
Why? Yeah. Well, you might see it next time you're on.
I can't wait. What a moment. You know, he had nothing to do with the purchase of anything
nope.
in the house.
Nope.
Shaka, have you ever scored an own goal as a keeper like Kasper Schmeichel did today? Do you see Schmeichel's where he punched it in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Not. Not in an official game. In a pre-season game,
right?
A free kick came off the post that hit me in the back and went in.
Okay, well, that's all right. That's
the only one I can think of.
Nathan, what's your own goal tally like?
I think I've got two. The first one I was absolutely devastated by because I'd gone 5-6 years without one. And then a ball came in from a corner, somebody ducked and it just hit me on the knee and went in and I was absolutely crushed. But ultimately, you know, it's part of the game. But thankfully I didn't score too many of them.
Stevie, you scored some beauties.
Oh yeah, I scored a cracker. Middlesbrough away. I love the tallest goalkeeper in the country.
David James, wasn't it?
David James, yeah. He's about 16 foot tall and still managed to lob him.
Shaka and Stevie, who would you rather have leading your front line? Wayne Rooney or Sergio Aguero?
The
noises.
Put them Nadum, goodness. Please.
Well, Nadum's going to say Aguero.
Yeah, but it'll give me some time.
All right,
yeah.
Nadum.
Yeah, of course, there's only one answer. It's Sergio Aguero, isn't it?
There you go.
Yeah, obviously.
Stevie?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nadum. Just.
Really?
Just eclipses Rooney, yes. I'll go with Nadum.
I go with Wayne Rooney. Yeah. I go with Wayne Rooney. That's hard to say, though.
Wow.
But they did.
Why?
Why is it hard to say?
No. Why would you choose Wayne Rooney over Kun Aguero?
Let's be honest, there's no wrong answer, is there?
YouTube comments, I'm sure, will disagree.
Yeah, but I'm going with Wayne Rooney. Just feel if If there's a game where I need a fighter, somebody that Rooney could be more of a scrapper than
Aguero. Yeah, that's what you want from a striker.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. With the last of City's big three leaving now, Nathan, who was most influential for them since they started their run all those years ago? Aguero, Kompany or Silva?
I think ultimately you have to say Aguero, because the Kompany came in when the club was hoping to maybe finish in Europe. Then David Silva came in, the club was seeking his first trophy and so on. And then Aguero came after they've won the FA Cup, but he came in to take the club to that next level. And I think if he does manage to, say, take part and win the Champions League next week, then he has done that, because in the 10 years he's been at City, for example, he's won 5 league titles. I think it's 6 League Cups, maybe 2 or 3 FA Cups. So ultimately, you know, the fact that he scored 260 goals as well, I think when we take away the emotion, we look at just statistics, Sergio Aguero is the number one and probably one of the greatest strikers the Premier League's ever seen.
When Mancini banished you to go and train with the kids, Nathan, was it just the fact that you were marking Aguero in training so much he made you look worse than you were?
Classic. It's funny you say that, because I was training with the kids before Sergio arrived. And then Aguero came and he didn't realise that I was at the lowest of my lows playing under 16 football as a 25-year-old. But give it a month and we were training together. And then, you know, I did some work with him just this week, and I had to do an interview for a separate company. And the biggest concern I had was that when I saw him, he would look me in the eye and not remember who I was, because we weren't together. But he saw me, he recognised me, and the thing went off without a hitch whatsoever. So even though, as I say, I was training with the 16s, by the end, I played with Sergio Aguero for Man City in the Premier League.
So he remembered you eventually?
He remembered me straight away. All I had to do was slightly pull down my mask like this, and then you don't forget.
That was it. Do you remember when we had Hugh Jackman on the show?
Huge Liverpool fan.
He was a big Norwich fan.
Oh, was he a Norwich fan?
And I think Liverpool beat them in like the Milk Cup final. And Stevie was like, "Yeah, I played in that." And he went, "You play football?" Oh dear. Right, where are we?
Well, I actually picked him up first. I picked him up on it because he told us he was a Norwich fan, and he went, "Oh yeah, yeah." And then he went, "Yeah, we won the cup and such and such." And I went, being very friendly as I am, I went, "No, you didn't, eh? We did." Because I was playing in the game.
Yeah.
And then that's when he turned around and we went, "You played football."
Nathan, what was it like to share a dressing room with Kun Aguero, even if it was only for a minute? Wow. That's a bad
question. That's from Dan Thomas.
It was technically 3 months, possibly four.
Right.
Possibly four. But like I said, when he first came to the club, he didn't really understand the history. He was starting to get to know it. But initially, to be honest, he was one of the stars in the space. So who he is today isn't who he was back then, and he still had a point to prove, and people were trying to feel him out. So it was nice, because obviously I knew of Aguero from when he was at Atletico Madrid, playing alongside Forlans and so on. But like I say, looking back now, you know, you could feel he was just that little bit different. But lest we forget, when he first started at City, he was coming off the bench because we still had Carlos Tevez and people like that. So it was he's not the Aguero of today, let's just say that.
Time to go deep, Stevie. In an earlier extra time, Craig said, with the quality of player that you were, you deserve many more international caps. What frustrations and issues were there with the SFA in your time?
Whoa. Well, listen, to kick it off, we were always... You know, before an international weekend, whoever was the manager would come up and say, "Do you really want to go?" That would be the first question. So straight off the bat, you're thinking, "Well, if I go, is that going to go against me? So what do I do?" So that was right off the bat. I mean, Kenny used to, if Kenny came to me and said, "What do you think?" I'd be like, "You know what?" Because when the new regime came in after '86, I can't tell you I particularly enjoyed it. I just felt a loyalty that I had to go when I was asked. And so every now and again, when Kenny would say, "Do you want to go?" I'd be like, "Oh." And then he'd take me off 5 minutes before the end of the game on the Saturday. And then, of course, the following international, even though I hadn't went to that one, if I went to it, the manager at the time would come up and go, do you think we are daft? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he'd go, yeah, that old trick. The manager takes you off 5 minutes before the end. Yeah, right.
Oh. So in the end, Liverpool was more important to you than Scotland, Stevie?
Well, your bread and butter is. It 100% was. In 86, when I went to World Cup, I had a problem with my stomach.
Yep.
Played through it. And then as soon as I came back, I ended up getting an operation because I'd torn my stomach muscle and I had a hernia as well. And the following year, I probably missed about 7 months of it because it flared up again. And so by that stage, I was beginning to wonder whether I was ever going to be right again. So my bread and butter always came first. You know, Liverpool paid my wages. Scotland was a bonus. And so any time there was ever a problem, ever had a niggle or anything else, then I just didn't go.
Xhaka, maybe the opposite side of things. For Trinidad, you'd be on the plane regardless.
Well, eventually. I was threatened with a ban back in 94, so I didn't represent Trinidad from...
Why are they going to ban you?
The Trinidad and Tobago were playing a friendly against the US. We lost the US 1-0, November 19, 1989. If we'd drawn, we'd have gone to the World Cup.
OK.
For some very strange reason, they wanted to play a game 5 years later, November 94, to commemorate that loss. Which made no sense to me.
No.
Of course. I'm at Reading. I'm the only goalkeeper on their books. I'm like, I'm not coming home to play. Not in an international window.
Yes.
Some friendly commemorating a game that we lost makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm like, I'm not coming home to do that. And the TTAFA at the time contacted FIFA to try to have me banned.
Wow, Shaq.
And I, because I had a British passport, I said, I'm British, I'm not going. And that started a bit of a war between myself and
I can't imagine you got war with anyone, Shaq.
Well, between me and Jack Warner. We just didn't see eye to eye as a result. And eventually I did go back in 99 and my youth coach growing up got the head coach's job for the national team. So I started going 99.
Wow.
But from then, yeah, I went when as needed.
Yes, and maybe stayed a little longer.
No, I never did. Never did, Dan.
No, yeah, definitely not. Has Gareth Bale instantly become a Chelsea hero and legend, Nathan?
I'm going to say no. Spurs and Chelsea don't get on. So even though Gareth Bale's done him a favour today, I don't think they could care less. I think next time they see him, they'll probably give him as tough a time as possible. And I'm looking forward to seeing that in the future. But we shall see where Gareth Bale will be next year.
Yeah, didn't he say afterwards he couldn't reveal where he was going to go because it would cause chaos? Oh.
He said that, but it's just that he's a modern-day footballer, knowing that, you know, you can drag out a story, you can make it more dramatic. Chances are he'll probably be at Real Madrid, but, you know, where's the story in that?
It's more exciting if we speculate the chaos. Stevie, which club should sign Gini Wijnaldum?
Inter Milan. Because he can go there. I think they'll win the title again next year. He'll definitely make them better. Go there and try and help them do better in Europe as well.
OK. Is Nadim really a qualified accountant?
No, I'm not. I stopped the course after a year. I did my stuff till 16, did my A-levels till 18, and then I did a year of a professional accountancy course, and I just thought to myself, what on earth am I doing? Yeah. And decided to just focus in on my football for a little bit. And then, yeah, had a 16-year career from that point.
So how much do you regret not following that through?
Well, the exact moment I knew I shouldn't be doing this was when I was in the room and we always train hard on a Tuesday, and I was sitting down and I looked around and there was lots of people who were involved in that work already and they were trying to get to the next stage of their work,
right,
or to try and get a raise or something like that to develop themselves, and I thought, this is going to do me no good for the Manchester Derby on the weekend, so maybe I should just go home.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, I did.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Decision.
Yeah. Didn't get an internship at NASA though, did he, Shaq?
Nope.
No. Final question. Should David Moyes be given manager of the season, Stevie, considering how bad West Ham were last season and now they're in Europe?
No, I don't think so. I think he certainly deserves a lot of plaudits from taking a side that seemed to have just always been fighting relegation in the recent past to a team that, you know, had a real chance, a real opportunity to get into the Champions League. So I think he's had a lot of plaudits. He certainly deserves them all. But you can't say he's been a better manager over Pep this year. No, not happening.
That's it. Thank you very much for everyone. Thanks to Cal for the special appearance. What a moment.
I expect a question tomorrow from Stevie's McCoo.
That's it then. We're done. We'll be back tomorrow for more. We'll be reflecting, of course, what happened this weekend right across the board. Be sure to join us. Until then, goodbye. Hey, we've got to wait for the full screen, Shaka. New fill again. Yeah, good work. Right. ESPN FC, despite, of course, the end of the season, we're still with you. Would you believe it? 7 days a week. Like, crikey.